Ringers.
In a world filled with violence and conflict, this Christmas there's one group of superheroes dedicated to protecting us all. Sir Ian McKellen.
Run,
you fools! Sir Patrick Stewart.
Stand down or face the consequences.
Dame Judi Dench.
Obey the law. We are the law.
Sir Alan Bennett.
I knit my own jumpers, you know.
They are the national treasures. At their secret base under the BAFTA building, Ian McKellen, Judi Dench, and Patrick Stewart reveal their dark secret to Olivia Colman.
Olivia, darling, ducky dearest, I'm afraid the National Treasures are going to have to do some terrible things this year, dear. Shameful, disgusting things.
A terrible theater of hate, full of human suffering. We call it pantomime.
Why us? I don't understand it.
The C-listers who would usually be doing panto are unavailable. The has-beens, who were big in the 70s, are too busy being character witnesses for the other has-beens. Who are big in the 70s.
We've been drafted in to help prevent the ghastly tradition of pantomime dying. That's why Anthony Hopkins is appearing as Cinderella in Barnstaple with Nev from the call centre.
And John Hurt in High Wycombe as Aladdin with Steve Brookstein and someone from Gogglebox.
Oh, you mean I have to work with reality TV stars?
Calm yourself. You won't have to appear in anything that features someone who's only famous if their name is followed by the word from.
And so, the National Treasures take Miss Coleman to a secret cave to train her in the ways of panto.
Now pay attention, Olivia. I have in my hand a collection of humbugs purchased from Diabetic Dora's Huddersfield Sweet Emporium, e-buy gumdrop. Your first task is to take a sweet and throw it at these facsimiles of screaming, overexcited children.
I can't. I trained at RADA. I broke the nation's heart in Broadchurch. I just...
Olivia, the ways of ordinary folk are alien to us. But we must respect their strange customs.
I can't.
You can do it, Olivia. Use the force of whatever bollocks I use in my movies. Magic. It's magic, I think. Use magic.
She's doing it. She's holding her sweet wrapper, she's raising her arm, and she's flinging it at the pretend children.
Oh, well done, Olivia.
Good show.
This isn't one of my mint humbugs. This is a screwed-up BAFTA acceptance speech.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
Will Olivia Colman manage to throw sweets at children? This Christmas, the National Treasures aren't just standing with you. They're also behind you.
Welcome to a brand new series of Gogglebox. We wanted the families to watch the best festive TV offerings of 2014, but even we couldn't make them sit through Mrs. Brown's Boys to Christmas special. So instead, they've been listening to Radio 4. In their B&B in Sandwich, Steph and her husband Dom are listening to Gardener's Question Time.
Now, we have a question about tulips from Mrs. Frobisher from Kent.
Oh, I wish I'd stopped banging on about bloody plants.
Oh, I don't care about stopping Japanese knotweed. Why don't they tell us something useful, like how to turn slow berries into gin?
Exactly. How to turn apples into gin.
Or chrysanthemums into gin.
Or Japanese knotweed into gin.
Fancy a glass of gin?
Good idea.
Oh, Christ, we're all out.
Oh, fine. Glass of red, then.
We're all out.
What about white?
Out.
Blue?
I've drunk all the blue.
Get me some whiskey, or sherry, or Advocar, or Frangelico.
We're all out. I've drunk it all.
Turpentine?
All out.
Mouthwash?
Had that as a chaser with the turpentine.
Oh. What do you call that liquid in a spirit level?
Delicious.
Well, that's it, then. We've got nothing to drink.
Next on Gardener's Question Time, we'll be teaching you how to turn potatoes from your allotment into homemade moonshine.
Bingo!
Next week on Gogglebox, we watch your family watching TV. That's right. We put cameras in all your houses. We've seen everything. Not smiling now, are you?
Well, Kat was right in the middle of lunch, turkey with all the cliché trimmings, when Linda asked everyone to please be quiet, as she had something she needed to tell me.
Did she come clean about having a torrid lesbian affair with Lauren Branning and tell you they're going on the run because they've murdered some filthy toe rag who is blackmailing them over nude Facebook pics?
No. She wanted to tell me that she loved me and I was like the best thing in her life, you know? Yeah, it was a fabulous day.
Oh, so you had a nice Christmas day?
Yeah, cracking, the best ever.
Phil? Phil Mickey said he had a nice Christmas.
Nice. You better tell me something tragic happened to you, and pronto.
Well, there was this business with a bird.
Exactly, it's always a bird. You must have been held hostage inside your flat by Elaine Peacock at gunpoint, dressed as an elf.
No, the turkey. It was a bit dry. I had to go to the minute mark to get some Bisto. It's fine after that.
Phil, tell him, Phil!
Listen, Mick, it's Walford. We don't do nice Christmas days. We do grisly, vicious, horrible, nasty Christmas days.
No, mate, it was lovely. I got this jumper and this woolly hat.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm still alive, by the way.
Dot, please tell me your Christmas day was horrible.
Well, as it happens, Phil, Nick came at me with a knife. Now, I'll tell a lie, it was a spoon, a souvenir christening spoon. Oh, what a lovely Christmas day we had. Even had a sing-song round the piano.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. Hey, and now I can smell the succulent aroma of roasting meat. Oh, this is the most depressingly wonderful Christmas ever. What's going on, Sharon?
Phil, that roast meat smell is just healthy. He's electrocuted himself and set fire to the Vic.
That's more like it. Christmas isn't Christmas without roasting chestnuts in a burning pub. Merry EastEnders Christmas, everyone. We're all going to die.
Later tonight on BBC One, David Walliams, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He stopped subtly ripping off Roald Dahl and is now doing it blatantly instead. But now, it's Call the Midwife.
Christmas at Nanata's house was a magical time. Some things were worse in the 1950s, but others weren't. Time periods are funny like that. On the one hand, women died a lot more often in childbirth, but on the other, midwives were nice to you and you probably didn't have to pay £7 for parking. But Christmas did bring its own struggles.
Nanata's house, ridiculously posh blonde midwife speaking, how can I help? We'll be right there. Come on, girls, get your toddies and various other slang words they use in the 1950s. We're needed.
What is it?
There's been an emergency at Ruffington Estate, ridiculously posh brunette midwife. We'll need everyone there. Ridiculously posh mousy midwife, ridiculously posh Scottish midwife, Miranda Hart.
Hurrah! Ruffington Estate? Is that where all the charming poor people live who say things like, God bless you, hun, and squaddle me nuggets?
That's right. It's Mrs. Penny Scrounger. She said to get there right away. Quickly, to our twee bicycles.
Oh, God bless you, all of you. You talented, prim, beautiful midwives. And you, Miranda.
Gosh, this is exciting, being in a what I call drama. I hope I don't do anything silly like fall over.
No, not to worry. We'll get baby out of you faster than you can say overly simplistic view of the 1950s.
Me? Nah, it's me husband. He's eating too much Christmas leftovers again. He's having a food baby.
Ah, ooh, God blimey, it hurts. And I've only had 7 turkey drumsticks.
All right, don't worry. Big bossy nun is here to sort everything out as usual. Ridiculously posh brunette midwife, get some towels for Mr. Penny Scrounger's head. Ridiculously posh blonde midwife, his back needs a few towels. And ridiculously posh mousy midwife, I think his stomach could do with them. A few towels, yes.
Aren't you going to offer him any medicine?
Look, it's the 1950s. It's towels or nothing.
Ooh, this food baby hurts more than any woman could understand.
Big bossy nun, look, there's a piece of Christmas pudding stuck in the breech position. There's only one thing for it. We're going to have to shake his belly like a bowl full of jelly.
Ooh, God.
There you go. Congratulations, Mr. Penny Scrounger. You no longer have a food baby.
Next time on Call the Midwife. I don't know, it'll be the same old thing, really. Rationing, nuns, God, tiny bit of racism, more rationing, oh, look, a baby, credits.
Welcome to the Embarrassing Bodies Christmas Special. I'm Dr. Christian because nothing says I'm a real doctor like showing millions of people videos of manky genitals. Dr. Pixie.
Every programme at this time of year needs to be a Christmas special, so we've done our best. We've found a boil shaped like a snowman, a cyst that smells a bit like cranberry sauce. And then we ran out of ideas, so we wrote Merry Christmas on a fanny. But now Dr. Christian is with our first patient.
Hi there. Hi, Peter. Thank you for coming in today. Drop your trousers.
Well, no, it's actually a problem with my throat.
You haven't seen this show before, have you? Now, be a good boy and pop them off.
Oh, I really don't want to.
Look, I didn't take this job to examine throats. And how is a bad throat Christmassy anyway?
The rash on my throat is shaped a bit like the baby Jesus.
Right. OK, let's just take a look. Drop your trousers.
No!
Come on, it's Christmas.
No, for the last time, I'm not taking my trousers off. I've got some dignity.
You did volunteer to be on Embarrassing Bodies, though.
Yeah, fair point.
Nice knob.
Coming up after the break, we look at all manner of fetid and horrifying genital disfigurements while you sit there eating your Christmas dinner. And you're not even going to change the channel, are you? You sick pervert.
Happy Christmas.
Welcome to a Christmas edition of The Choir. In my quest to bring Yuletide cheer to all, I'm helping gloomy celebrities to sing. And here's tennis star and human Eeyore, Andy Murray.
I'm really excited about this.
After me. Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Fa la 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 la. La la la.
Tis the season to be jolly.
Fa la 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 la.
Okay, Andy, that's a lovely note you've got there. But let's try another one. Fa la 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 la.
Fa la 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 la.
La la.
La la.
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 Okay, Andy, have you ever thought you could sing more if you just tried a slightly different voice?
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
You do? Great! Tis the season to be jolly.
Fa la 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 la. La 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 la.
Andy, that's exactly the same monotone noise, just through tears.
I know, that's my other voice.
Okay, Andy, this isn't working. We're going to have to resort to desperate measures. Mrs. Murray, can you come in now, please?
What?
Now, listen to your mother. Sing. Sing for everyone.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Wow, that is amazing, Andy. And you too, Judy. How did you do it?
I stared at him like I used to before he won Wimbledon. I can dance along too, if you like.
No. No one wants to see that.
BBC Radio 4. And now some exclusive podcasts this Christmas to take you into the homes of the nation's favourite chefs.
It's Boxing Day morning in the Oliver household. Jules and the kids are still asleep, so bish bash bush, I creep downstairs to find the kitchen full of tasty leftovers, a little bit of succulent turkey, a bit of pan-roasted spuds, yeah? And of course, piles and piles of all the lovely money that I've made in the last 12 months. Now, I just scoop up all the meaningless leftover words that I have from all the bollocks I've talked in the last 12 months. Words like boss knuckle and bish tinglers, right? Whack them into a new cookbook, yeah, called Jamie's Quick and Easy Boss Knuckles and Bish Tinkler Recipes, yeah? Before you can say bish tinglers and boss knuckle, bish bang, boom, sheng, bing, baff, boom. That's another couple of million winging my way, yeah? Because Christmas is all about being with your loved ones. Fivers, tenners and fifties.
Boxing Day is always one of the favourite days here in Nigella's kitchen, as let's face it, the pressure is finally off. Christmas Day has been spent slaving over a huge, hot, juicy double entendre. So the last thing you want on Boxing Day is any stress. So the key for me is simplicity. So why not just take any scraps and leftovers you have in the fridge, just throw them all willy-nilly into a pan, and hey, voila, you have a cuisse de grenouille à la Provençale with foie de veau en persillade, accompanied by pomme de terre with a cherry clafoutis dessert. Simplicity itself.
Hume Community Garden Centre.
Oh, yes, hello, good day. Is that the garden centre that I've called?
That's right, yes.
Oh, marvellous, yes, it's Michael Burke here. Very nice to be out of the jungle. I just wondered if you had a particular spot in your garden centre with a lot of tall plants and perhaps a plastic mushroom that I could sit on.
I'm so sorry.
What?
Yes.
Is everything all right? Is there something...
I am absolutely all right. I need to share this with my colleague. Do we have a big plastic mushroom that might be able to sit on?
No mushrooms.
No mushrooms.
No mushrooms, oh.
What are you looking for exactly?
I'm feeling some withdrawal symptoms from the jungle coming out and being back in the real world, and I was just hoping maybe there could be a corner of a garden centre where the plants would be tall and they would be...
Oh,
reminiscent of the Australian jungle, and if there was a large plastic mushroom I could sit on.
Oh, just a moment. Tim will... I'll pass you to Tim. He's got to listen to your voice. You have such a beautiful voice. You have a Gandalf voice, in fact.
Yes,
just
I know.
Just a moment.
It's good, isn't it? Yes, it's good. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Tim speaking. How can I help you?
I just basically wondered if you had an area in your garden centre of some tall trees,
yep,
conifers, perhaps even a buddleia bush.
We've got beautiful community gardens here which are open to the public every day of the year, so you're more than welcome to come in and sit down and contemplate the world at any point in time.
Well, that's marvellous. You've been an excellent witness. You really have.
Oh, lovely.
If somebody called Melanie Phillips comes along, tell her she's not allowed in.
Melanie Phillips, OK, we'll put a sign above the door.
Later tonight on BBC One, some people cook some stuff and try to impress some judges. Haven't actually checked the schedule, but there's bound to be at least two or three shows like that, isn't it? But first, in a new documentary series, the BBC are given rare access to Prince William, Kate and baby George as they prepare for Christmas.
For the young royals, it's been a difficult year. Like so many couples doing up their first starter castle, Kate and Wills have had to fall back on the bank of Mum and Dad, which, in their case, is the actual Bank of England.
Well, you know, one has to pitch in. Will's father doesn't work, though he does sell a bit of jam on the side.
It's organic marmalade, mater.
Whatever. I tell him he shouldn't. If they find he's making money on the side, one fears they'll stop his benefits.
What about Kate's mum and dad? Can they help?
Oh, I don't know what Kate's mum and dad do. I don't like to ask. They seem nice in that probably vote UKIP and have stone cladding kind of way.
Like all new parents, Wills and Kate love spending quality time with their firstborn.
We want George to grow up normally, but of course you can't help spoiling him. So when he insisted the postman Pat be knighted in the New Year's honours list, we had to say yes.
As with her first pregnancy, Kate suffered terrible morning sickness.
Doctors still don't know what brought it on. I'd wake up feeling okay, throw open the curtains, see Nicholas Witchall outside the palace and just start projectile vomiting.
It's Christmas Day and the Queen is visiting their new home for the first time, which means for the young couple, lots of last-minute pointing at things which need cleaning.
Right, let's have a look at the little one. Can one pick you up? Ooh, not as heavy as I expected yet. Let me guess, 2 stone 6?
Yeah, I'm just a tad over. Could you put me down now?
Right, fetch a a servant to get the telly on. I want to watch my speech. Not only does it contain words of hope and inspiration for the Commonwealth, but also Wazooked and Concertini that I've snuck in to win my annual 10-quid bet with Philip. Sucker loses every time.
How are your renovations going, Gran?
Oh, getting there slowly. One so misses Buckingham Palace, but they tell me it'll be totally fumigated with all traces of Rolf Harris gone by March.
Gosh, sorry we're late, everyone. Had a very busy morning staring aimlessly into the middle distance and contemplating the futility of existence whilst sobbing very quietly.
Cheer up, it might never happen. Like you being king. Right, who wants to play Pin the Tail on Alex Salmond?
From the makers of Christmas at Downton Abbey, the album, comes a magical new album of the festive season. The Christmas ads at Downton Abbey. Yes, all those bloody Christmas ads that have driven you up the wall and made the telly unwatchable for the last 2 months, given a sprinkle of Downton magic. From the John Lewis ad, Lady Mary sings Real Love.
Real love, baby. This is real love. Real love.
Peter Andre welcomes a special guest to share his culinary delights.
And what do you call these things?
It's an Iceland party platter.
Goodness, in my day it was called dog food.
No, this is bonza grub. Look, there's deep-fried prawn and chocolate profiteroles and orange liqueur-flavoured deep-fried cheesy bits. Only 8 pence per metric tonne.
And, of course, there's the heartbreaking Sainsbury's ad.
Two soldiers, one German, one English, meeting in no man's land.
My name's Jim.
My name is Otto.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Otto. My name is Isabel Crawley.
Sorry, what are you doing in no man's land?
Don't you know that this Sainsbury's chocolate you're sharing, it's much cheaper in Lidl? Yes, always doing my bit for the poor at Christmas. Right, you can get on with killing each other now.
And what would this Christmas be without the penguin that touched all our hearts? Carson? Oh!
Lovely shot, your lordship.
Lou, I'm Mariella Frostrup. Welcome to Open Book. The 7,898th Radio 4 show with the word book in the title. John Hurt stars in a 10-hour adaptation of War and Peace on Radio 4 on New Year's Day.
Hello, Ducky. Nice to be here.
So, why 10 hours, John? That's pretty long. Was that to do justice to the epic scope of the novel?
The only way to get half a page in the Radio Times and an odd picture drawn by a lunatic is to make it at least an afternoon. Less than 10 hours and you'll be a footnote on page 174 next to an ad for mobility scooters. You see, that's why we all panicked when we nearly finished and realised it was a pitiful 8 hours long. Luckily, we padded it out with some scripts they had lying around in the recording booth.
Let's have a listen to this scene between you and Imelda Staunton.
We have seen much war, Natasha Rostova.
We have, Pierre Bezukhov.
Countess Natalia, I have received news from St. Petersburg. News from Princess Winifred Robinson.
Our beloved Princess Robinson from the province of you and Yorzovich. What news?
Oh, from her correspondence, I am in little doubt of the ferocity of the supermarket price wars. No, but we must not become downhearted. Please do me the honour of accompanying me this evening for a drink down the bull with Lord Ambridgeski, where there will be much talk of the planned bypass that could destroy Bridge Farm. See, Totally seamless, Mariella. What was your favourite bit?
Well, definitely the scene in St. Petersburg when, challenged by Prince Alexei to a duel for the love of Katharina, that alien bursts from your stomach to devour him.
That was my idea, darling. I love improv. Look, I've got my hand up my jumper. Oh, no!
Oh, Clara.
Doctor, do you know what time it is? It's nearly noon.
My mouth is dry, my head hurts, and I can't remember anything.
Not even our New Year's Eve party?
My memory must have been wiped by a polarizing radiation beam. I need to find out who's responsible.
We could access the control console. It records everything.
Oh, look at me. I seem to be having some sort of spasm.
No, you're just dancing to the birdie song.
What am I saying? It's all slurred and incoherent.
Ah, now you're hugging a bin.
That's no bin. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I think you're snogging a Dalek.
Oh, this cannot be.
Doctor, what's that red plunger mark on your neck?
It's a Dalek love bite.
The TARDIS has identified an intruder.
Doctor, I thought you had just got up to make me tea.
Get out. Get out before I blast you into scrap metal.
Didn't last night mean anything to me?
Just get out.
Don't you even want my phone number?
No.
Don't fight it, Doctor. You and the Daleks have been locked in deadly conflict for years. You obviously really fancy each other, and this fighting has been your way of expressing it. You're the most famous will-they-won't-they since, like, Ross and Rachel.
You're right. I'm just a 2,000-year-old time-travelling alien standing in front of an evil, murderous cyborg, asking it to love me.
Doctor!
Shh! You had me at exterminate.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis MacLeod, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Ed Emsden, Tom Coles, Jack Bernhardt, Max Davis and Duncan Wisby. The producer was Bill Dare.